Rested?
Well, we just had a big company retreat.
That's what I'm asking.
And what's funny, so I come home and I'm like telling my son, just came back from the retreat. He's like, what'd you do? I'm like, we had meetings. We had guest speakers. I gave a presentation. We did strategy sessions. He was like, oh, I thought y'all just sat on the beach the whole time and just kicked it and partied.
No. Yeah. No, that's not what happened.
Yeah, we just had a dope retreat. You should talk about the retreat. Yeah.
I mean, so we do an annual retreat and company photo shoot every year, but since we're celebrating our 10th year,
10 years,
we decided to take the retreat to Miami.
Yes.
I think it was also because, like, we haven't been together. You know, pre-COVID, we used to see each other all the time in our various offices. And since COVID has come into our world, like, there were people who never even met at Momentum.
Yeah.
And so it was really a bigger opportunity for us to just come back together, spend time together, just build with each other in person in real time with no distractions.
Yeah. People don't realize this, but there's a whole company. It's not just Alan and Tiffany.
We are not the Momentum Advisors. We are Momentum Advisors, but we are not the Momentum Advisors. There are several others. And so I posted a little bit of the photo shoot on our Momentum Advisors, the Momentum Advisors Instagram page, but I'm going to post some of the photos so you can see the rest of the team.
Yeah, you should tweet too. Tweet the photos too.
Yeah, I can do some tweeting.
We've got more followers.
How do
on
we
Twitter.
Feel about Twitter now? Are we still tweeting?
For now.
I mean, for now. Nothing's happened yet.
All right. So, I mean, what would be, are people hating Elon Musk or something? Is that that
they are hating the fact they feel like he will, that he's using Twitter as a tool to allow
Trump.
Correct.
Okay.
To do his thing and Trump-like individuals to have a home.
Yeah.
To say all types of shit. So that's the concern about where Twitter will go under the ownership of Elon Musk.
Okay. All right. But people still like Tesla. It's just they don't want him
but
in
you
charge.
Can't hear Teslas.
Okay. All right.
Teslas don't have words.
Yeah.
So I think it's listen.
Yeah. So for now, we're tweeting. Our Twitter page is still at Momentum
Advice. It's still at Momentum Advice. And our Instagram page is The Momentum Advisors. And admittedly, we don't do a great job of putting up a lot of content. But by the time you hear this podcast, I'll put up some new stuff.
Yeah, because there's 11 people at the firm.
Yeah.
There are.
Here's the consensus, though. Now, if you follow me on Instagram, and I'm not going to say my Instagram, but if you've happened to figure it out, I did a lot of posting from the retreat. And I'm not going to lie. There's been a kind of like a common tone.
Okay. What's the tone?
That the men at Momentum Advisors
we
looking
got,
like something.
We got it going on, as they used to say in my day.
I've heard that several times over in my DMs.
Good.
Like, who are all those? First, I did have to remind them, and I'm going to let all of you ladies know, that all the men at Momentum Advisors are either married or under the age of 25.
Yeah.
So calm down. Okay.
No, get excited, y'all.
That's what I had to say to the ladies in my DM. Well, it was, I'm telling you, like, it had to be at least like 12 to 14 DMs. Like, who is that? Y'all look good. Y'all whole firm look good. I'm like, well, calm down.
Yeah. Okay.
But yes,
and low-key, the women of Momentum aren't too shabby either.
Far from shabby.
Yeah.
Far from shabby. But yeah, we just got back from our annual retreat and we are excited.
Yeah.
The photos from the photo shoot came through last night. I haven't shared them with you guys yet. I gave you like one or two, but there's over 500 photos.
I would like to see all 500.
I know you would, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, I would like to see all 500.
But so, yeah, that's what I was asking. Are you rested? Do you feel like the retreat wore you out, or did you get any rest?
I'm exhausted. Like, I went to sleep at like 10:05 last night.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling good, though.
That's good.
It was something to behold. And, you know.
Very proud.
The one thing I want to tell any entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur is get started. If you get started now and you put your all into it, you'll look up one day and it'll be 10 years you've been in business.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like it's been 10 years, but like, you know, you can build up this type of business over time if you just keep doing what you got to do. Just don't give up. Don't quit. That's the message.
That's the message. That's not the show.
No, it's not the show.
That's the message.
I'm super proud, and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done some, just brag just for a second. So in 10 years, we've gotten to 11 people. We've had 23 people come and go.
Yeah, we fire at Momentum. Okay.
Yeah,
one thing about Momentum, we will let that ass go.
Yeah, we do. We are now one, again, I think we said this before, we're one of the largest, if not the largest, Black-owned wealth management firm in the country.
In asset size.
In assets under management for wealth management firms. We have over $330 million in client assets.
There we go.
And in our first year, we had $20 million. So like, we've literally grown, I think it's 1,500% in the last 10 years.
There you go.
We've grown, you know, and I think Wall Street measures itself by numbers like that. For me, the thing that matters the most is like, we've helped a lot of people.
Yeah.
Our client base, we have over 250 clients across the country.
And just to interrupt you very quickly, because when people hear clients, they think people. But our clients are more than people. They're families, they're institutions, nonprofits,
yeah. We have a lot
universities,
of nonprofits.
Endowments. Yeah. Like, we have a variety of different clients.
Yeah. But then we also have the listeners who may not have ever become a client, but I know we're touching their lives. Like, I know that we are helping them to live a more fulfilled financial life. Helping them to be entertained as well,
yeah,
which I appreciate.
That is true.
Yeah. So we've been blessing folks, and we feel blessed.
One other thing I got to bring up, and this is not like this whole podcast will not be about us, but there was one part, my presentation during the retreat highlighted where some of our followers, listeners,
yeah, that was
prospects
crazy.
Come from.
That was crazy.
And we are super global.
We have people who visit our website from literally every state in the country. And damn near like every country,
yes,
in the world.
Like, yes.
I saw Russia on there. I'm like, wait,
let's not
a
say
minute.
That. Let's not say that. We don't need them. I don't know. They need to stop looking.
Yeah.
Russia, don't look.
No,
we
free.
Can't do nothing with y'all's money.
Yeah, feel free. Just you can look, but you know, we're on sanction right now of y'all. Okay.
But yeah, so we Momentum Advisors is definitely. I mean, we've always had clients international and domestic, but to know that we get the attention from all over the globe, literally every single country.
It feels nice.
Feels nice.
Yeah, that's a fact. All right, so today we're talking about the government.
Mm-mm, not the government. That's not how you came back from Miami talking
okay.
about the government.
We're talking about the government today.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Because we can't talk too crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of folks, by the way, as soon as I said the government, some folks turned off the podcast.
Literally.
Like, they're afraid of the government.
Seriously.
Yeah. The government's been busy. They've been changing stuff. They've been making things available. And we need to talk about it because some of this impacts you.
Yeah, some of it impacts you. And a lot of people swear like nothing's happening, right? Like, because like you haven't been personally impacted, to your knowledge, you feel like they just over at the White House just not doing a damn thing. Like, that's not the case. Things are getting done.
Yeah.
Even though there's a lot of fighting and back and forth and nonsense, there's a lot of nonsense happening. But some real things are being pushed through at the same time. And so we want to highlight them so that you are aware on how they affect you and your wealth.
So first, we'll talk about the Secure Act 2.0.
Do you feel secure? First of all, what was the Secure Act 1.0?
We're not even going to talk about the 1.0.
Did we never? Okay, we just going to jump. We wasn't feeling secure, so we needed 2.0.
Yeah, no, there was a Secure Act 1.0.
What
happened? Everyone's feeling that already. It was small things like changing the RMD, the required minimum distribution.
Okay.
To age 72 from 70, like little
I remember
small
that.
Things like that.
I remember
so
that.
2.0 is not approved yet all the way. The House has approved it. And what's unique about how it was passed is that it was really a bipartisan effort. There were 414 yeses to only 5 noes.
Okay.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
For our group of people.
Our government is very split right
yes.
now. Like, the House has more Democrats than Republicans. So in fact, anything the House passes, you know, it can pass just with Democratic support. But this had a lot of Republican support, which means the odds of it passing the Senate are even higher.
There we go.
Because the Senate, we know, is like a coin toss. Like, the Senate is very, very split, Democrats and Republicans. And the only things coming out of the Senate have to be bipartisan by default.
So let's talk about what's in the Secure Act that makes it so attractive to both sides.
2.0, by the way.
Yes, 2.0.
This is not the old one.
Why don't we ever do like a 1.5? Like, The first one was cool. We just need to do a little extra. No, 2.0 always feels like throw the whole other one out. Like the whole other one was bad.
Yeah. No, I just look at it as an improvement. We're stepping things up. 2.0. Okay. So here's, if this passes the Senate and gets signed by the president, these are the changes that will happen. So first, they're talking about raising the required minimum distribution on retirement accounts from age 72 to age 75.
So often called the RMD, but this is a distribution that you have to take from your retirement savings at a certain age. Like for a lot of you who are saving retirement, you know that you are getting returns tax-free. Here's the thing. It's not actually tax-free when you start to take it out.
Yeah, it's deferred.
Okay.
And the day will come.
There you go.
Where they make you take the money out.
The thing about RMDs is like at a certain point, they're like, all right, you've been living long enough. Now stop being greedy. Yeah, like they want their taxes.
And so we need our tax money.
The RMD age currently is 72. At the age of 72, you have to start taking out a specific portion of money so that they can get their tax on it. Mm-hmm. And they are talking about now raising it to age 75. They're going to give you a couple extra more years.
Yeah, and they'll do it in phases. So they'll do 73 for a year. They'll do 74 for a while. And then it'll cap out at 75 by 2033.
First of all, I don't.
They can't just be just allowing y'all to do whatever y'all want.
What do you
like,
mean?
They gotta give it to you in small pieces.
How are you talking about the Secure Act 2.0 for 2033?
Yeah, we gotta get it popping.
By that time, we should be in Secure phases. Act 14.0. Like,
yeah.
It's always something.
That's a fact. It used to be 70 and a half. You should be happy.
Why?
Because now it's...
For the people who are 70 and a half, this isn't even going to apply to them.
But hold on, though, Tiffany. Like, you are just about to hit 50. So
whatever.
You got
whatever.
Time. Like, that's... you won't be 75 for at least 6 months.
Alan is talking about himself. I have proudly said, I'm coming around this 40 corner this year.
Yeah.
What are the RMDs for 40-year-olds?
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's nothing.
Most people ain't even started saving for retirement yet.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. So... You know, we talk about this as it's really a tax cut in a sense because the taxes that you would have to pay.
Do not perpetuate that lie.
It's a tax cut.
That is what they told.
It is.
It's not a tax cut.
Okay, fine.
It is not.
It's a tax deferment.
I get where you're coming from, but no. Okay. To cut the taxes, don't push them down the road. Don't let me get a little older.
But let me down.
By that time, the taxes are going to be higher anyway.
Yeah, let me downgrade the RMD. Thing.
Thank you.
Is where I'm going. It's kind of a tax thing.
It's a tax thing.
But would you believe that 80% of people who are over 59 and a half, they're taking out distributions anyway.
Word.
More than what they're required to take out. So
word.
This doesn't affect everyone, really. This affects the people that are in that lucky camp where they're not taking their money out anyway.
Y'all done spent y'all retirement by the age of 72 anyway. That's what Alan was saying.
Y'all already taking money
being
out.
Shady. He was like, so this doesn't really even apply to y'all.
Yeah. So this is one of those things that really helps the wealthy, unfortunately, because they're the 20%.
Don't say unfortunately. Fortunately, if you have managed to be wealthy.
Oh, my gosh.
Nothing is wrong with this applies to everyone. And if you have not touched your retirement or have not needed to touch your retirement, which doesn't mean you're wealthy, but maybe you're still working or bringing in income, this will benefit you.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Y'all love hating the wealthy.
Yeah.
Alan, guess what? We have a wealth management firm.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
True. I forgot about that. So it helps. It helps our clients for sure. And our listeners who
and
are building
our listeners
wealth.
Who are listening
wealth.
So that they can build wealth.
Yeah. Facts. No, you're right. Thank you for that. So other changes in 2.0, it's going to allow older workers to contribute more to their retirement accounts.
This I like.
So currently, if you're over 50, they give you an extra $6,500. So you can put away $27,000 into a 401k account. So with this new legislation, they're going to raise that amount to $10,000 extra for people who are in their 60s.
Okay. I like this because we do get listeners who are late to the train.
But!
Oh, here we go. It doesn't apply until 2050.
No, but.
It's got to be in Bitcoin.
No. That 10K, you're not going to get a tax deferral on that. It's going to be like a Roth type
of
contribution.
So after-tax dollars.
You got to put after-tax dollars in.
I could put after-tax dollars wherever I want to put them. I don't need you to apply
it. No, but you get tax-free growth on it.
Until you take it out.
Yeah, but no, tax free.
Okay.
Yeah, not deferred.
Then this just is. This isn't.
It helps. You can put more money away.
So they're gonna let you do. They're gonna let you do what you was already able to do somewhere else.
Think about it, Tiffany. Like right now, if you're over 60 and you've maxed out on your 401k, all you can do is put money into a brokerage account, which has taxes on it.
Correct.
So they're now saying you can put money into a retirement account that will not have taxes, but they're not going to give you a tax break on those dollars. Let's not go crazy here, people. That's what they're saying.
So if prior to turning 60, you had a Roth.
Mm-hmm. You could have done a Roth, but if you make more than the Roth minimum mm-hmm. and you're over 62,
mm-hmm.
now you've got some extra Roth dollars you can put away. Like, that's a benefit.
But if you're just riding in the middle,
yeah,
you're in your 50s,
yeah,
you could just open a Roth.
Yeah, you could.
And do the same thing. But I get it. I do get the advantages are at a particular age, you no longer qualify for a Roth anyway. And these are mm-hmm. just extra post-tax dollars that you can put away with tax-free gains.
Yeah. That's good. That's nice. That's very nice.
This definitely is Secure Act 1.25.
Okay.
Because it's not hitting as hard.
You're going to like these, though.
As I needed to hit. All right.
These, you're going to like these. Okay. They also added a bunch of incentives for part-time workers, for 401k participants that also have student loans, and also for low-income
folks. There we go. You should have started by saying student loans. Let's go.
Okay. So.
If you are 65 years old and still have a student loan.
We're going to get to student loans themselves,
you get
too.
10% off.
Oh, my God.
If you're 65 years old and you have not gone to college in the last 40 years and you're still paying student loans, stop. What they going to do? Oh, I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. Not as a financial advisor, as your friend.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Just let it go.
It's fine. But then what are they going to do to you?
I don't know, ruin your credit, for example.
Yeah.
Scandalize your name.
At 65, y'all need to stop taking out new loans anyway.
Yeah, that's a fact. All right.
If I'm still paying student loans at 65, and I will not be, but if I am, and I did not start new school, like do some more school.
Like if you went to school at 18.
Right.
And you're still paying on that.
That's what 65? I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm saying if you went back or went and got a doctorate or went and done some other things, that's keep different. Paying on your student loans. If you haven't been there since 22 years old.
Yeah.
Man.
Yes. Put it like this. If
you don't even know that school.
You're still paying. If you're 65 and when Hammer came out, you were in your 40s and you went to college. Back when Run DMC was popping.
Don't pay them loans no more.
Yeah, don't do that.
As your friend.
Yeah, that's not legal tax
advice. Correct.
Financial advice, but, you know, one of those things. All right, so other incentives in 2.0. Automatic enrollment in retirement plans. So right now it's very optional. Like, I started the job. They told me about the 401k plan. I may join it. I don't know. Let me see how it goes. The new legislation would require companies to enroll people in their 401k plans.
So what if the company doesn't have a 401k plan?
So they're also making more companies have 401k plans. So they're going to exempt companies that have 10 or less workers and companies who've been in business for less than 3 years.
That's fair.
Okay. So that means Momentum would be required. And we do have a 401k program, by the way. Very proud of that. So other things in 2.0. It allows plan sponsors to offer immediate small financial incentives like gift cards to participants to encourage them to sign up.
Mm-mm. This sounds like the fine print. We just did this episode.
You can get a gift card.
You can get a gift card. But what?
But nothing.
You a lie. Wait till
oh my God.
Listen, when this comes to your home, when your HR person provides you with this paperwork, read the fine print. The gift card is going to be like, once you activate it, and use it like it's just read the fine print on these gift cards.
It's limited to Applebee's and Fridays. Fine, but yeah, you can get a gift card from your employer. I think that's nice.
Okay,
this next one I think you'll like. Okay, if you are, and this starts in 2023, not 2033, but starting next year, if this passes, if you are contributing to a 401k. And you're also paying off your student loans.
Come on, Jesus.
And you don't have enough contributions to get the full match, the employer can still give you the full match, even if you didn't contribute enough to get the full match.
Okay. So
Run it back?
No,
it again?
Don't run it back. I'm going to run it back. So, first of all, your employer has to provide a match.
Correct. Correct.
Matter of fact, first of all, your employer has to provide a 401k plan.
Yes, that's true.
Then they also have to provide a match.
Yeah, you just lost a lot of people. But
You have to be paying on student loans.
Yep, that's a lot of people.
And not be making enough to make the minimum to qualify for the match.
Correct.
And then they can or they are required to fulfill the match.
They may.
Oh my God. Nothing just happened.
Something did happen.
Nothing happened.
They may. They're allowed to.
My God.
Right now, they're not allowed to.
They
right
were
now,
allowed to before. Student loans don't have nothing to do with your 401k.
They were allowed to.
We are employers. We are allowed to do whatever we want to do. Don't nobody need to tell us what we can do.
These employers have been dying. They've been dying to make more contributions to your retirement plan.
They have nothing to do with
They've been
loans.
Held back. They feel oppressed
they
and repressed.
They have done this before. No. Nothing just happened.
Something did happen.
This is why
Biden
this
came
is why
on this
the Republicans and Democrats could agree on this because nothing's happening.
That's not true.
That's they were like, whatever. Sure.
It sounds good though.
Until you
when the headline is like, you know, there's new legislation that's going to help people who are contributing to their 401k,
but guess
and
what?
Paying student loan
debt. Thank God we did that podcast episode. Read the fine print.
Oh my God!
Because nothing happened. We're going to keep talking about nothing. Stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
It's very meaningful that what we're talking about. I'm Alan Boomer,
and we're the Momentum Advisors.
What's up, North Star family? This is Donnie Rose, and I'm excited to let y'all know about the Word Life Podcast, the latest podcast in the North Star Network that I am hosting. Each week on Word Life, I will be exploring the intersections of literary art, music, politics, and revolution, and unpacking the messaging, lyrics, and themes of poetry and music, both classic and contemporary, that function as the heartbeat, baseline, and bottom line for radical change. Be sure to check out episodes of Word Life, dropping every Thursday wherever you enjoy podcasts, and let us know your thoughts. Peace, creativity, and revolution.
So we are back. Alan believes that we are talking about government updates.
I believe
that we are just talking about government words. Let's talk about some of the things that they have been talking about and the impact and or lack thereof that's happening in some of these new bills that are being considered.
First of all, the government is good to us, okay? The government has given
us roads.
You are
on the North Star.
The government has given
us
roads.
We are part of the North Star Media Group. You might want to slow down on the lies, the propaganda you are pushing out.
Yeah, they do.
And we love our country.
Too.
We love our country, you know, in whole, as a whole package.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that's not working. We all know that. There's a lot that has consistently been working against us. And so our government is what it is.
Yeah.
But we are talking about some of their more recent rollouts, if we can call it that.
The gift card program.
For example, gift card.
They may give gift cards now. They may.
Where are the laws at?
The requirement of giving a gift card?
What's the requirement?
No, we can't do that.
Exactly.
No, the government is overreaching. Don't make me get a gift card.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So next, they're going to raise the Savers Credit, which is a credit that's designed to benefit low and moderate income workers who are contributing to their retirement account.
So explain the Savers Credit.
Okay, so basically the change to the credit is that starting in 2027, they got to give it some time. Okay, let's not get too crazy.
2027.
Okay. The credit would give you a 50% credit for up to $2,000 in retirement contributions. So you put in $2K, you can get $1,000 of tax credit if you're a low income person. So right now, the low income thresholds are up to about $68,000 per year. That's for a married filing joint couple. A head of household family would be $51,000. So I mean, if you're making, you're single mom or dad, you're making under $51K, you put away $2K into your employer's retirement plan, the government's going to give you $1,000 tax credit if this goes through.
What's the low income threshold for just single people with no kids? I see you looking.
$34,000.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Yeah, $34K.
And I'm not saying that I qualify for low income. I just feel like, you know.
They skip over.
They always skip over. Like, you could be low income without a husband and kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just be low income.
Yeah.
And therefore, you should qualify for these benefits also.
Yeah. So two more, 2.0 things. So there's another new provision that would require employers starting next year to allow part-time workers who do at least 500 hours a year to participate in the 401k plan after 2 years on the job. It used to be 3 years.
Okay. So that's a little less than 10 hours a week.
Yeah. It's about a quarter of full-time. So yeah, you can work 10 hours a week.
Do some weekends.
At Walmart. And
do some weekend if you have a weekend job.
Mm-hmm, now you can participate in the 401k plan.
All right.
You may.
You may, because they still,
yeah,
okay.
You may. And then finally, I like this last one. So they're going to create a lost and found for retirement accounts.
What?
Lost and found.
I know what a lost and found is.
Lost and found works?
Have you ever lost your retirement account, and they'll hold it until you can find it?
So this bill is going to require the Labor Department to create an online database where you can search for old retirement plans. Like, I worked at this company 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I think I put money in. I don't remember.
Okay.
HR ain't there no more. The company's closed down.
Okay.
Where is my money?
Okay.
There's now going to be an online database if this passes.
When?
No, I don't know. I would hope soon. I would hope very soon.
I think that's helpful. I definitely think I have an old 401k.
That you forgot about?
I just don't know where it is.
So wait for that database to hit.
And it was from a part-time job.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You were putting money in on a part-time job?
I was an adjunct professor at a community college. And I didn't need the income, so I said, sure, put in as much as you want into the retirement plan that was offered.
Tiffany has lived. I didn't even know that. She was a professor.
I was working with you.
Tiffany was a fireman at some point.
I was never a fireman. Okay. But, okay, so I will look it up on this database.
Okay. So this next thing we're going to talk about isn't a change. This is a program that's been around for a long time, but it really is in focus right now because of inflation being so high. Have you ever heard of I-bonds, Tiffany? Before this year, had you ever heard of I-bonds?
Before this year, no.
But everyone needs to know about I-bonds now. I-bonds are a special investment that was created by the U.S. Treasury that allows people to put money in as a loan to the government and get paid not just a rate of return, but also an inflation payment as well. I-bonds are great.
Yeah, so far, so good.
So I-bonds really benefit from the fact that inflation is high. So inflation recently hit 8.5% per year, which means if you buy these bonds now, you're taking advantage of the fact that inflation is high. The current yield on I-bonds is 7.12%. But based on where inflation is right now, it's expected that starting in May, they'll be paying 9.6% per year, guaranteed by the government.
Okay.
With some tax savings, you get no state tax. You do have to pay federal tax, but you get some tax savings and you get a really, really nice guaranteed rate of interest. But there's some catches.
I was going to say.
There's always a catch. There's always a catch.
And are these new?
So these aren't new, but they're in focus because inflation is high.
Got it.
Like when.
Because I'm about to say, I know all of a sudden we're not at a place where we're issuing new bond types.
Yeah.
But no. Okay.
Yes, there are some catches. So let's talk about the catches. Okay, so number one, the interest is accrued monthly, but you really don't get the money until you cash out of the bond. So if you bought in and you held it for 5 years, you get the money in 5 years that you made.
And I was going to ask, is the typical term 5 years or 10 years?
So they have a 30-year maturity.
Mm.
Okay, you can sell them after 1 year.
Okay. I like that.
But if you sell them inside of 5 years.
Here you go. Here you go.
They penalize you by about 3 months of interest. They take away 3 months.
3 months? If I only kept it a year.
If you kept it for 1 year.
That's 25% of the time.
Yeah, they penalize you by 90 days of interest.
Okay, so I got to. Okay, I got to keep it.
If you've got money that you can put away for at least a year and you want a super safe investment that is going to help you with the inflation being high, you should think about I-bonds.
Okay. And again, I'm just joking as far as like taking it out sooner, because as you know, especially with bonds, like this is an investment vehicle where you definitely keep your money in for years. This isn't an overnight or a short-term type of investment.
Yeah. So other catches, the only other catches I'd say is the next catch is that
I need an I-bill or an I-note.
Okay.
An I-note or I-bill, that's a shorter term.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. Somebody's on their financial knowledge quest. I like it. Like, I knew what you were saying, but I'm like, wait, is she saying that?
No, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah. So bonds tend to have a longer term.
Correct.
Bills and notes tend to have shorter terms. Yeah. Bills have under a year of maturity, I think. And
so notes are a year.
Notes are under a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bills could be under a year.
Okay. There you go. So yeah, these are 30-year paper. Other catches, you can't buy this through a brokerage account. It's like you can't go to Charles Schwab or E-Trade and say, hey, put me down with some I-bonds.
You have to go to Momentum Advisors?
No, you've got to go to treasurydirect.gov.
Who?
It's a specific website
Okay. Where
you can go, and it's the only place you can get I-bonds.
How often do you go to treasurydirect.gov?
I've never even once.
There we go. I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page because.
Yeah, never even once.
Never even once.
Yeah. I've read about it.
Have you?
Starting this year.
Okay. Because I've never heard about it or considered it. But sure.
So other catches, okay. You can only buy $10,000 per year per Social Security number.
Okay.
So if you've got millions of dollars, this is not going to be a huge benefit for you. But if you've got, you know, $20,000 and you want to put $10,000 towards it, 10 for you, 10 for your wife.
I actually think that's super smart, right? Like, I don't think this needs to be like a big asset vehicle. I think this is something that you can do in small increments. I think this would be super helpful if you are putting money away for someone's college fund, right? It's safe. Again, it hedges against inflation. I definitely think this is kind of cool. Again, I'm glad we're just now hearing about it. But again, I think this isn't like something that if you have large chunks of money, I don't think this is the place for that. But again, planning for college, some sort of monetary gift. Maybe you have a number of beneficiaries, a number of grandchildren. Maybe you get them a couple of I-bonds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice, relatively small, but very safe investment.
Yeah, you can put away $10,000 per year. And it's interesting that you mentioned children. So if you're under 18, you can't be the buyer of the I-bond.
Sure.
But someone can buy them for you.
Yeah.
So you could buy $10,000 for you, $10,000 for your spouse,
because
and $10,000 for each kid.
Yeah, here's per the thing. Year. One of the primary points of investing is being able to beat inflation, right? Mm-hmm. So that your money remains valuable over the years. If there's a bond that's guaranteeing the inflation rate,
mm-hmm.
and a return.
And some tax benefit.
And some tax benefit.
And I didn't tell you this yet. If you use the money to pay for college.
There we go.
Tax free.
There we go.
Interest
done.
Tax free.
Check done. So for everybody who's like, listen, let me call Momentum Advisors and ask them how I can save for college. Don't need to call. I-bonds, treasurydirect.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Done and done. 10th, right now on birth. If you're pregnant right now. Or a young child, whatever. Put the $10,000 away right now for each child.
But wait, there's more. If you're getting a tax refund, you can opt to buy I-bonds with your refund.
No taxes?
No, they're still the same tax treatment.
A gift card? Because I don't want no damn gift card off my tax refund.
They'll let you do an extra $5,000, so you could do $15,000. That's if you're getting a refund. So if you owe.
You probably ain't getting no refund.
If you owe, then you can't buy I-bonds with the money.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
That's cool.
That's something that folks didn't know about. And I will say, I didn't know about it until this year. Like, I had heard of them, but I hadn't really, really understood them until this year. And I think now is the time to take a look at I-bonds because of inflation being super high. What else is going on? The Fed?
They're clearly interest rates are going up.
Yeah. They raised interest rates in March. They're going to raise interest rates again in May by a half a percentage point and possibly in June by either
a half a point or three quarters of a point. I need for them to slow down on the raising interest rates or just defer it to fall. Not for the summer.
No, they're hitting it now.
Not for the summer.
Yeah.
Like, we're already getting hit hard with these, with the gas and these airline prices and just being able to drive. Hold off till the fall.
That's why they're doing it. They're trying to slow the economy down.
First of all, it's not the economy's fault. It's the gas. Okay. Yeah. Just get the gas from somebody else.
No, if money gets more expensive, that means that you can buy less stuff.
Correct.
Which means there'll be less supply.
Yes.
Which means prices should go down.
Agreed.
That's the way that they attack it.
I know what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I know what the big picture is.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I like
the
view.
Of course we don't like
it. I know what the big picture is, but I don't like the view.
It helps us and it hurts us, right? Mortgage rates are going higher. That means that, and they've already gone higher. So the average mortgage a year ago was 3%. Today it's 5%.
Jesus.
In a year. Yeah. We did tell people
a
year, way more than a year ago to start locking in some low interest rates, refinance the crib, the whole nine.
And I got in on that refinance.
Yeah, I started mine and didn't finish it, so I'm mad.
Yeah,
right
I'm under 2.5.
Sheesh.
I went in at 4.
Let me hold something.
I went in a little over 4, and now I'm under 2.5.
Tiffany.
See, I listen to our advice. The advice that we give is not coming from the sky. We do know what we're talking about.
Really?
5%.
Yeah, it's 5.1% the average 30-year fixed mortgage right now. That's crazy. Housing sales are going to slow down. So if you were planning to sell your crib.
Y'all are selling. Listen, it's not acting like it.
Yeah, it's going to slow down. Okay. It has to slow down with mortgage rates being higher. One more thing is auto loan rates are going higher. So that car, if they're trying to put you in a foreign, it's going to cost you a little bit more.
I already got in a foreign. I'm in the foreign.
You might be in a domestic
in December. By December, I was in the foreign.
Yeah. So you did. You did your thing. You took our advice. You locked in some stuff before rates went up. But on the flip side, savings accounts are going to start yielding more.
Come on.
You'll get more money if you buy bonds.
CDs.
Right? That's one of the good things about the Fed. So the Fed's moving. So let's now talk about these student loans. Can we talk about the student loans?
Can they talk about the student loans? Because they need to talk a lot more about the student loans.
So the government's been doing a lot of stuff quietly with student loans, and we should talk about that.
And I do give this whole student loan Joe Biden thing a hard time. And I do also think that media also gives it a hard time. Like, things are actually happening. They're just not happening for us, like me specifically, but I actually do know people whose student loans have been forgiven in this period of time. So, again, things are happening. The needle is moving. It's just not moving in my direction, but it's moving.
Yeah. So, stats on student loans. So, 40 million people owe over $1.6 trillion in federal student loans. And that sum is larger than credit card debt and auto loan debt.
Yeah, because you can't even qualify for $50,000 credit card, but you can damn sure qualify for a $50,000 education.
Word. And 90% of the loans, it's federal, right? Mm-hmm. So the government has a real big impact on controlling what happens to these people. Pre-pandemic, 11% of student loans were 90 days late or more. So out of $1.6 trillion, like $170 billion was late.
Okay.
So the Democrats have been ratcheting up their pressure on Biden to cancel up to $50,000 in student loan debt.
Per person.
Per person.
That would wipe me clean.
You'd be
boy.
Good. Now, Biden's like, look, I've already been doing some work on student loan debt. Here's who's already gotten their debt canceled. So over $17 billion has already been forgiven.
Where do they live at?
Yeah. And it did not impact Tiffany, because the first group of people that were impacted were folks who borrowed money to attend a college that is now defunct. And this was especially for-profit colleges that have closed down. And now people are saying, look, I don't owe money to that college anymore because the college doesn't exist.
That's fair.
You agree?
That's fair.
That was like 200,000 people.
You still got the degree in education, but that's fair. Go for it.
Yeah.
I'm not mad.
Some of those people didn't even finish,
hating.
Though.
I'm not hating.
Okay. Next. This is about $6 billion. Folks who have total and permanent disabilities.
That's fair.
You agree? They shouldn't have to pay their student loans anymore?
Tiffany? That's fair.
Are you comfortable with that?
Just one question. Did the disability happen after college or just your life? Because I feel like if you were disabled going into college, you probably shouldn't have paid then either.
Oh, my God.
I'm just being honest.
This is really for the person who got disabled
yeah.
since college, during college.
Yeah. What I'm saying is if you were going into college disabled, I would hope there were programs with you going
you
in
would
that would have covered your education.
Yeah. Yeah. This is for the person that, you know, became disabled.
Okay.
The next group of people are borrowers who are public servants. Okay. But this is like a program called the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program.
Who qualifies as a public servant? A teacher?
Yeah, this is
teacher, police officer, hospital, doctor.
Yeah, this program is really complicated. So
this is my point.
They've made it less complicated. And we're gonna talk about that in a second. Let me just keep going on who's already gotten loan forgiven. But there's almost $2 billion in the public service program that's gotten forgiven already.
Because a lot of my friends are teachers and they damn sure are paying student loans. So we need to get this straight so that at least for them, this can be wiped clean.
And then finally, borrowers with private loans from Navient. So private loans from Navient.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
Not all.
Come on.
Not all.
Come on. I'm right here.
Okay.
I'm right here.
But what they did find, so 39 different state attorneys general sued Navient.
Yes.
And they alleged widespread,
yes.
unfair, deceptive abuse
Correct.
On private loans. And those loans, those specific loans have been canceled.
So here's the thing.
And these have to be loans that originated between 2002 and 2010 that were later defaulted and charged off.
Wait a minute. Okay. We need to bring this back because I'm 2002 after mm-hmm. on student loans. Some
did. Well, you started college in
2000, but I started on a full ride.
Okay.
So I think I started needing the money around 2002, and then I had to default on it and get it charged off.
Yeah. And
isn't it?
they're saying that these borrowers were issued subprime loans that they really qualified for better loans. And Navient.
So if I'm able to pay it, if I was able to pay it the entire time, it doesn't get forgiven.
Yeah.
But if I wasn't able to pay it and it got charged off, which means I already decided I wasn't paying this thing no more.
Yeah. So
you've forgiven me on something.
But it has to be private loans too. And so basically, Navient is notifying people between now and July.
So the reason why I'm asking legitimately is because I have a friend this week who received this email from Navient.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't exactly understand why. And she definitely is after 2002 and it's a private Navient loan.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was telling me, hey, girl, make sure you check your email.
Yeah. Word.
Now, I don't think this is like a charge off. I don't have that going on. But.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah, they will let you know. And if you were eligible.
If you're telling me I need to start to default,
no,
I can't.
I'm not saying that. If you are eligible and you made loan payments since June of 2021 on these private loans that were canceled.
Here's the thing. And I do appreciate that Alan, you're sharing this information right now. But it is very complex. It's also emerging and we're still figuring it all out.
Oh, fact.
So just call Navient.
Yeah.
Honestly, call Navient. Call all of your student loan providers. I know. We're probably dipping and dodging them on a regular basis, but this is the one time I need you to call and just ask.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't have to do anything to get it forgiven, to get it canceled. They're going to do it for you. They already know who falls into the bucket. And that's something that Biden helped to do.
So if for nothing else, and I was being light, but if you had defaulted, if you've defaulted on your student loan and had not been paying it or whatever the case is, figure it out. And if they are going to forgive you, that might not have an impact on your expenses because you weren't paying it anyway, but it will have an impact on your credit in a very, very major way.
And we'll talk more about credit in a second. Let's go to break and let's talk more about credit when you come back.
So I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer, We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
Talking about things that are happening in the government.
Yeah.
Some of the moves, the quiet moves that are happening that may need to be a little bit louder. So we're trying to amplify it as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Alan started taking us down a road of somebody's getting some student loan forgiveness.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly who it is, but we know a little bit. So please just call your student loan provider and just ask the question, hey, is my student loan, if you feel like you fall into any of these sectors that we've recently discussed, right? Like disabled, yeah. Public servant, Navient, private, with a default on it, whatever.
College closed down.
Just reach out. If it has not already been forgiven, just reach out and inquire.
Yeah. And if you're Tiffany, you're out of luck.
No, it's not, because I think I'm in the last group.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I'm in that last group.
I don't know, yo.
So far, it sounded like me. I have defaulted. I brought it back, yeah. But I could take it back.
See, that's where you messed up.
See?
See, that's where you messed up, Tiffany.
No.
You brought it back.
Listen.
Why did you bring it back?
Because it's the right okay? thing to do.
No. You're supposed to just stay just dirty.
Stay dry and dirty.
I know you needed to buy a house and
Here's
everything.
Here's another thing. And I'm just putting my business out in the street, but I'm curious. Now, on these Navient loans.
Mm-hmm.
Last year,
mm-hmm.
I received a settlement agreement.
Okay.
An extremely attractive settlement agreement.
Okay.
Was I offered a settlement agreement because they knew it was about to be forgiven?
Maybe.
Because I took it.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
What was the agreement? Are you willing to
sure.
share that?
Mm-hmm. So if it was, and I'm being, listen, y'all know I'm just telling my business now, but I paid it and I have the paperwork. If it was maybe $30,000.
Okay.
It wasn't that much. It might have been like $24,000.
Okay.
I paid like $3,000.
And they said the bill is paid.
Potty done.
Really?
Word.
Was that your last loan?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So for that portion.
But it was only the Navient loans.
Yeah.
And I have a non-Navient loan. I have a Nelnet. I don't know even know who they are.
They are thugs.
Again, Nelnet. Your loan gets sold so many times. Like I never started with a Nelnet, but that's where I'm at now. So I got a Nelnet popping.
So you're down with Nelnet.
Now.
You're down with Nelnet. You know me.
But you know, most of my loans were Navient, and so it was for my Navient loans only.
Now what year did this happen?
I think honestly, I'm not trying to was qualify.
The reason I'm saying this is that you're also going to have to get, like, if they forgive some
know,
of this stuff.
I know the tax
they're
part.
They're going to give you a tax paper saying that you
yeah,
took
I'm aware.
Income. Yeah,
I'm aware.
It's not a
This was offering. Last year.
Yeah, so you probably got a letter. Maybe, I don't know if you on if your taxes are on
extension. Which they are.
Yes, but yeah, you'll need to claim some of that as
That's
income.
That's fine. Listen, I don't mind claiming the forgiveness or the, you know, the portion I ain't had to pay.
Yeah.
As income, I don't have an issue with that. Okay. But now I feel like I should have just, you know.
Stayed dirty. See, I told you not
Held
to bring
out.
It back. I tried to tell you. It's like, nah, listen, I don't know. But look, it's a blessing that you were able to get
yeah,
caught up.
For sure.
It's but absolutely a blessing. This whole student loan thing is very political.
And
a
convoluted.
Lot of, yeah, a lot of folks are like, you know, I worked hard. I paid mine off. Why can't they? You know, but there's folks that
Who says that?
Yo, it's a lot
Whoever
of people.
Whoever says that, tell them to holler at me because we could just fight. Mind your business.
Yeah, it's a lot of people that feel like, yo, everyone should pay their share of it. Like, I'm not saying that's me. I'm saying there's a lot of folks.
Yeah, they need to be mindful that the economy did not pay its share to people who needed jobs and proper wages who have college degrees.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is this. I'm like, look, I've been blessed in many different ways. And if somebody gets blessed by that, then good for them. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make me feel upset if I paid my student loan off. And I had student loans in grad school that I think I'm done. I don't even know if I'm done or not. But I'm saying, like, I borrowed money. I'm good to pay it off. And I'm glad that God blessed me to be able to pay it off. But there's some people that were not in that position.
And I feel the same way about God. But I don't feel like I should have to pay student loans because I'm black. This has nothing to do with the ability to pay it off and the blessings that have come. Because I pay off all my stuff. Y'all know I don't really do credit and I hate debt. So I have no issues paying things off as quickly as possible. But I'm Black.
Yeah.
And
this is true.
That is why I don't want to pay student loans.
Is it just because you're
Literally.
Black? Or is it also because you're the descendants of slaves? Like, is it just because I'm Black? Or, like, is there some kind of reparation component?
Sure.
That's it.
I'm telling you. It's nothing to do with anything else. It doesn't have to do with the ability to pay. It has nothing to do with, like, my school is thriving
fair.
And growing.
That's
I
fair.
Would gladly give it to them as a donation. But I'm Black.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me off.
That's fair.
List, government list. Let me off the hook.
Yeah.
Take my name off the list.
Okay. All right. So other things that
Jesus died for me not to have to pay student loans.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I saw that in the Bible.
Yeah. So other things. So Biden just earlier in the month of April extended through August 31st the pandemic related pause on federal student loan payments.
I don't have no federal student loans. So I've never been able to participate in this COVID student loan holiday.
Yeah. And he's extended this 6 times already. Footnote, private loans are not eligible
exactly.
for the pause.
No footnote.
Okay.
That is the note. It is not yet. Yeah. We are not eligible as private loans.
But here's something that really helps a lot of people. More than 7 million borrowers who defaulted on their federal loans are now getting that default removed from their credit
report.
Come
on, Jesus.
7 million borrowers.
That is dope.
A
that
federal
dope.
Loan default is now removed from
Come
your credit
on.
Report.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I'm happy for a lot of people on that regard.
A default on a federal student loan can drop your credit score by 100 to 200 points. But once the Department of Labor pushes this through.
When? Is this done?
This is coming in the next 30 to 45 days.
Come on. Y'all check your credit reports.
Removing it from credit reports.
This doesn't apply to me, but this is something I'm happy about for everybody. That is exciting. Because as we know, you know, having good credit, and we've already talked about like the confines of the credit score, and even though it's not really fair, you know, it matters. And so having more buying and borrowing ability when used responsibly goes a very long way.
Yeah. And then the final thing is that they are making changes to, you know, these income-driven repayment plans. These are plans for folks who have been in these public service jobs. They've been making student loan payments for 10 years. This program has been around since the 90s, but only 32 people had actually qualified for it out of the millions of people.
32 million or
no,
just 32 people?
Jokers, like
That's
32
horrible.
Actual people had qualified for it. So they're making it a lot easier for folks to qualify. And this is going to impact a lot of people, not just people in public service. It's also going to impact folks who are, you know, outside of public service.
But we have to get better clarity on who they are defining as public service. That's my question. Again, as I mentioned before, my closest friends in this world are educators and have been educators since the moment they graduated from college.
So right now the program is available to teachers, law enforcement employees, doctors, nurses, and others who work full-time for at least a decade for certain nonprofits or government agencies. But if you don't work in public service, you can also qualify if you've been paying your loans for between 20 and 25 years.
Okay. We ain't saying nothing about these school systems, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I think, no, if you work for a school system, that's a government job.
All right.
Yeah. So we're like out of time, but, you know, I will say that these student loan changes are happening. Do the research, figure out if you're eligible for one of these programs. They're making it way easier to qualify than it was in the past, and it could help you. It could be a blessing.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about a little, and I'm just going to be honest.
Oh,
but
my God.
No, it will have an impact on somebody, and whether we're talking about RMDs or student loan forgiveness in some capacity, things are happening. I know
Absolutely.
It feels like it's not. I know we hear the narrative that nothing's happening, but things are happening. Unfortunately, they're just not amplifying it, and that's part of our job. So hopefully you can take some of this information, even though we've given you a little, but do the research, make some calls, and see how it impacts you today.
Absolutely.
We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Momentum. Momentum.